Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents.
If you feel depressed and if you feel anxious and you feel confused, you know what? Welcome to the club.
Gazpacho, please.
Oh my God.
What a stupid son of a bitch.
He believes that it's a woman's right, it's a woman's body, and it's her choice.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
Sayonara, sucker.
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Millie Tamaras.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. I forgot to come up with a funny opener today, so I will just start with... Please.
Well, I just want to say that to everyone on the flight from Fort Lauderdale to LaGuardia the other day, I got too high to be flying on planes. And I thought I lost my phone. Like, everyone got up and was looking for it around the aisle. I called the flight attendant. We were all looking for it. Guys.
In the air?
It was deep in my seat back pocket.
No.
But it was deep, you know? It was deep. I like opened it and then it's like a teal. The phone color is a dark, deep teal. So it looks like the Delta seats, but I
was... So it's not your fault?
Not my fault at all.
How did the flight attendants react when they realized it was right in front of you all the whole time?
No. I found it. It was the best possible situation. Everyone was being really helpful, whatever. And I quietly, privately found the phone on my own. But yeah, I was just way too high to be on a plane. And I watched My Fair Lady, which I just feel like I'm so glad that we edit things now and things, because like
the Audrey Hepburn My Fair Lady?
Yes, Jesus Christ.
Long.
And like,
it's very
really
long.
We get it. Like, we don't need a 5-minute song about her dad being an alcoholic. Like, we got it.
Movies, like, first of all, movie musicals back in the day, they just didn't cut anything. And also, they used to like have an intermission. They'd be like, and now you take a break.
Intermission.
And we go back to the movie.
Which, honestly, I don't mind. I feel like some movies, Spider-Man could have had an intermission.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I've seen some movies recently that could have had an intermission, I will say. I would even say that maybe the West Side Story movie could have had an intermission for me.
Oh, interesting.
And I loved that movie.
My dad just sent me a Kat Dennings post of Audrey Hepburn. I don't know why my dad sent this to me, but it's kind of, I think it was meant to be sweet. So it is a Kat Dennings Instagram post saying happy birthday to Audrey Hepburn with a picture of Audrey Hepburn being old and Kat Dennings saying it's Audrey Hepburn's birthday and I wanted to post a photo from her later years because you can be beautiful at any age, you patriarchal fucks. And this is what my dad has sent this to me.
I don't think I've seen a picture.
I'm getting mixed messages.
I'm getting so many. Why does my dad follow Kat Dennings on Instagram?
Yeah.
I'm only 33.
Yeah. Audrey Hepburn, like, wasn't she like 8, like maybe 90 years old when she
life.
She lived a long life.
But she was hot as hell. She was a dime till the day she died.
To be fair, this is my first time ever seeing a picture of her older. I've never seen a picture of her older. I thought she died young because...
That's so interesting.
Because they never show her older.
Good for Kat Dennings then. We need to see more pictures of aging Audrey Hepburn.
Well, Kat Dennings is in her 40s too, so that's cool.
Are you serious?
Yeah, or she's at least 39.
I didn't mean to react that way.
No, I mean, yeah.
She's like, so like...
She's, okay, okay, sorry, take it back. She's 35.
She's 35.
But,
oh, shit.
She definitely reads younger. In her 40s, I was like, goodness.
Oh, no,
she looks
I'm sorry.
Great. Do you guys watch Dollface?
Yes, I like the first season. I haven't watched the
second. The first season was so good. And the second one, I don't know, maybe I didn't pay attention enough, but like, it wasn't as good for me. The first one's elite, though.
I feel like the first season was about like... how people are shitty to their girlfriends.
Yeah.
And that was like such a revolutionary thing. You know how people prioritize romantic relationships over friendships. And then the second season is about like being aimless and like not having a career or something, which is like a little tougher.
Yeah. But I love Brenda's song and I feel like I don't see her in enough and she's like so fun in it. And the outfits, it's just delicious to watch.
It's a good show. And I will also say that my friend has this theory and I stand by it, that Brenda's song should have been in Hustlers instead of Constance Wu. And I think it would have been,
why not both of them?
A slammer. But yeah. Brenda's song should have been Constance Wu's character.
Yeah. Yeah. In the remake, if they remake the seminal film Hustlers.
It's been a minute since I've seen Hustlers.
the question I did have for you, Elise, and I did say this on Slack earlier, and I was listening to the gals on Hysteria talk about who the leaker might be. And I think I'm curious who you guys think it could be. Of course, the person from within the Supreme Court that leaked this draft opinion. But maybe if we can't get that specific, Elise, what sign do you think they are? What signs are capable of an act like this? Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I do feel like it does. I think that it does depend on the motivation for the leak. Like, I think an Aquarius is leaking for justice. And they're leaking because they, like, want the people to know what is going on.
Water sign leak. Yes.
Yeah, I think maybe a Scorpio. Oh my God. I wasn't even thinking about it. And Scorpio is another water sign. I would say that Scorpio is maybe leaking for chaos. Okay. Whereas maybe a Capricorn is leaking or a Virgo is leaking to be like, stay in line to one of the justices.
Okay, we ought to figure out what Ginny Thomas is.
Yeah,
she's a Pisces.
Can I make a quick announcement before we even continue? To anyone who has bought tickets to my live show, I had a scheduling conflict for a fun reason, but it is a scheduling conflict. So the show has now been bumped to May 26th. It's also a Thursday. It's at the same time. It's at the same place. If for some reason you can't make the show anymore, I'm really, really sorry. I will do it again. And I put the information for how you can get your money back on my Instagram, which is at Pandalise, P-A-N-D-A-L-I-S-E. There are still tickets for the in-person show, but they are almost sold out. And then there's also the live stream. You can still get them at the link in my bio. And I will now see you on the 26th. Thank you so much for letting me make my announcement.
I mean, now we get two more weeks of life experience to add to this personal show.
Yeah, exactly. Anything could happen to me in the next 2 weeks.
Even richer and deeper. One thing that could happen to you is that law enforcement could get their hands on your browsing data on your phone. Shall we discuss?
Let's get into it.
So we're going to keep talking about abortion today, but focus in a little bit more specifically. I've been seeing a lot of unintentional fear mongering the past couple days. A lot of like, you know, stock up on Plan B, which is don't do that because people still need it and will need it. Like a lot of just, you know, delete all your apps. There's a lot of information. There's a lot of fear and there's a lot of confusion. So I tried to look into it today. I tried to get an expert on to talk us through it, like specifically the period trackers. A lot of people are asking about that. We will get to that another time. What we do know about for sure is just like we know our phones are collecting a bunch of data and that data can be sold. And that is a concern, very much a concern. If we're heading in a direction where 13 states will immediately outlaw, criminalize abortion when Roe falls. This week, we've seen a lot of fear around the impending criminalization of a medical procedure that 1 in 4 women have experienced. Mm-hmm. Because so many women and so many people get abortion and have done so in accordance with a Supreme Court precedent that was never supposed to be overturned. I mean, I personally, like when I get my birth control, when I'm, you know, I guess whenever I am talking about or referencing my reproductive health on the internet, I generally am not thinking like I'm a little like when I Google like where to buy weed, I'm a little like eek. But, you know, abortion's legal. So I've never
how to make
a bomb. You know, that stuff exactly. You're a little
when I'm Googling about, you know, how to print a gun at home or whatever.
No,
that I shouldn't actually worry about. That's only slightly regulated.
Yeah. So it just feels like a little weird. Like this is a time where something that we've done a little bit casually. And I know when I think about data collection, I'm sort of somebody that's like, I have nothing to hide. The opportunity costs of me having to take all the steps to like stop this are not really worth, you know, any drawback that it brings to my life. But this kind of reframed that for me. And this has a lot of people worried about how the ways everything around us are constantly collecting personal information and how this could factor into some of this criminalization. We know, of course, that some states are even trying to pass laws to keep women from leaving states to access abortion. Oklahoma and Texas already have these vigilante justice, you know, via these bounty laws. So now I'm going to go through some specific details from a Motherboard article in Vice that is sort of detailing a really egregious and scary example of this. So they found that a location data firm called SafeGraph, interesting name, Safe, is selling information specifically related to visits to clinics that provide abortions, including Planned Parenthood facilities, showing where groups of people visiting the locations came from, how long they stayed there, and where they went afterwards. Vice knows this because they purchased one of the data sets. It cost them $160, and they got a ton of data for $160. So this isn't like something that, you know, your mom and pop's anti-abortion, you know, round prayer group can definitely spare $160 on a data set, is a sentence I just said.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, anyone can spend that on a data set if they want it that badly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also, the only people who kind of can imagine wanting this are not us.
Yeah, like the CDC actually has bought a lot of data from this same place about, because they want to get data on what people are doing with COVID so they can message directly to them. This is obviously a much more sinister example.
Yeah, I wonder if they can, like, I mean, obviously when people buy data sets like this, like, stuff like that is mostly used, like, in Target, for example, to see how long, you know, even, like, Target tracks how long you spend in each section so that they can market to you appropriately in that way. So I just wonder if they're coming up with trends, like, people who spend, let's say, 2 hours or an hour at a clinic that provides abortions and then go get ice cream afterwards.
Maybe it's just so that they can better serve us.
Maybe the way that we fight back this is we just all collectively all keep Googling abortion, and then we just, like, go and have picnics outside of Planned Parenthood. Yeah. Just, like, make them, like, throw them off their tracks.
That's good. Yeah. Every woman in America just Googles abortion, how to get an abortion every day.
Right. You just get, like, a Chrome extension that does it.
Mm-hmm. And thank God for Planned Parenthood, because if every woman's like me and you go and you have a lump on your labia and then you find out it's just an ingrown hair and you just need a warm compress and please stop wasting the nurse's time. I mean, really, who's to know who's doing
exactly.
What?
Exactly. Then the cops show up on your door. It's like, joke's on you.
Joke's on you.
Another ingrown hair.
Joke's on you. I thought it was HPV because I got my pussy eaten by this guy who sucks. That's the information that they want to know.
And they're actually already doing weird shit with this information. Like, they will, you know, see if you're in a waiting room of a Planned Parenthood, and they'll target you a CPC ad, a crisis pregnancy center ad, or they will. I mean, Google only recently made it so that these places couldn't come up first on the search results. So, like, they're a little bit behind. These groups are not the most sophisticated groups, but they can use this. So how do these companies get their hands on this data? How does SafeGraph get your data? Usually they pay developers to include some code in the apps that sends it to them. That's how this, like, cottage industry works. The data set that Vice purchased included information from more than 600 Planned Parenthoods nationwide. Vice wanted to clarify that not every Planned Parenthood does provide abortions. And that is probably something that should be reiterated as crazy people start attacking Planned Parenthoods. And again, that information with 600 clinics cost them $160. One other element of this does not stop with location data, of course. Abortion rights activists have raised concern about what happens when people search for abortion pills. If anti-abortion groups or law enforcement decides to surveil these, providers could also surface and be targeted for prosecution. I want to stress, as we're going through this, like, I don't want to fearmonger like the people I just criticized. This is not a guarantee. This is not an immediate reality. This will vary tremendously based on where you live. And there are people who are elected who can simply choose not to prosecute women who try to access abortion, even if places make it legal. We're going to have to pay a lot of attention to the details when this happens. But I just want to be clear. This does not mean, like, you know, there are things that go around where it's like, if you get pregnant, immediately call a lawyer. No, don't do that.
There are some things. People are posting some things that have the energy of, like, this status means that Facebook does not have the right to, like, do, mm-hmm. you know, like those, like, mm-hmm. Fake, like, copy paste, like legal things that, like, your uncles would post on Facebook. And you're like, oh,
there's the little bit of an energy to it that's like an eagerness to be part of a vigilante thing. That's like, you're not actually totally totally helping.
And I just keep thinking about what Alencia Johnson was talking about with us earlier this week when I'm sharing information, which is just to make sure that people know, like, abortion is still legal right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Roe is still the law of the land in this moment. And mm-hmm. I've been trying to make this a practice in, like, taking things one step at a time. And it's like, okay, we've gotten this very bad information. Let's explore what we think can be done between now and that decision coming out to, like, I don't know what can be done to stop it necessarily, but, like, I'm just trying to focus on this step, which is between now and when the official decision comes out.
Right, right. Yeah, like, before you call a lawyer, if you get a positive pregnancy test, why don't you, like, you know, ma'am, if you're in Oregon, you're fine. Like, why don't you first look into whether your DA has, there are so many groups that already categorize this information.
I get the fear,
but I think that, like, in this moment, like, people are realizing how complicated our government actually is and how many different layers there are and how, like, there are a lot of different levers to pull. And it's not as easy as saying everyone over here is safe, and it's not as simple as saying everybody over here is endangered.
Well, and I also got to say that, like, I understand, and I, you know, I try to communicate, like, I totally understand people's, like, Democrats don't do anything. Everyone says just vote your way out of this. Voting's not enough. But when we're talking about local government and DAs that prosecute these crimes and stuff, yes, if you have a Republican governor, like in Brian Kemp in Georgia, but you have a progressive prosecutor, like, they're not going to take these crimes seriously, and you'll be safer than, you know, somebody who doesn't. And, like, that is a result of election. So it is more, it's more complicated than, like, if you live here, you're safe. And if you live here, you're not. And it is more complicated than, like, voting doesn't matter or voting is everything. Just vote and it'll all be okay. Like, I think people are realizing that that's not true. But then also on top of that, it is voting does matter, and voting does contribute to, like, how safe you are. And that's kind of the point, is that they want you to feel, like, not to go into the whole diatribe again, but they want you to feel like voting doesn't matter. So
exactly. I mean, it's true. I mean, especially in these local and state level elections, like, if you don't, your vote matters there. It just does.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't necessarily talk you into voting on a national level if you're not feeling like you're getting what you need, but on a local level, like, these things can come down to a couple votes. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the thing, is, like, there is always an election on your ballot on election day that is worth you voting in, even if the top of the ticket is, like, not something that you are
not super sexy, not something you're gonna post on Instagram about.
There's always gonna be something on your ballot where, like, you could further what is important to you.
For instance, there's still an anti-abortion Democrat in the House of Representatives. He's from Texas and he's being primaried right now, and I think that his competitor,
a very progressive candidate,
very progressive, supported by Elizabeth Warren, and I think she has a much better shot now.
Is that Jessica Cisneros?
Yes. Yeah, Cisneros.
Love,
yeah.
Love.
And she ran before. And
she
it's
did,
Henry
yeah.
Cooler.
Cooler. Yeah.
And, like, she's endorsed by AOC, all of that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's huge. I mean, we don't have a lot of seats in the House, so we certainly need our Democrats to be, we said earlier in the week, but yeah, anti-abortion Democrat is not a thing that is acceptable anymore. So now that I've just said, don't be too scared, I do want to talk about how scary this is. Search histories mentioning abortion medication have been entered as evidence in fetal death cases that have been prosecuted as crimes. This has happened. Specifically, this example doesn't include medication abortion. This includes a stillbirth. So in 2017, a woman named Latisse Fisher, she's Black, arrived at a Mississippi hospital after losing a pregnancy at home. She had gone to the doctor and they confirmed a pregnancy, but she didn't return again for an ultrasound. And that was stuff she was, like, telling them as it was happening. When she went to the hospital, medical officials, they gave her records to police. They were suspicious. They didn't think it was a stillbirth. She voluntarily surrendered her phone, didn't think she had done anything wrong, and they scraped her search history and found searches for misoprostol, which is one of the pills used in medication abortion. And they used this as evidence that she had intentionally killed her fetus. They charged her with second-degree murder.
Oh my God.
She had also at one point, I believe, said to one of her doctors, or they claimed that, or an ultrasound technician, like, just made a reference to not really being ready, not wanting to be a mother again, not being prepared for that. And they used that to accuse her of this crime. This took years. She was in jail. The case was eventually dismissed because it turned out that evidence based on how the fetus died was faulty. But still, prosecutors, somebody that called themselves a progressive prosecutor, tried to charge her again. They worked very hard to get this woman charged for second degree murder. But when they came back, grand jury said, no, there's no evidence here. And it was finally dismissed. But this woman, I believe, spent years in jail. Her local community in Mississippi had to activate, raise a lot of money, get a lot of people involved to get this woman back on track in her life. And it started with information on her phone.
Yeah, I mean, it's really scary. It reminds me of that woman recently in Texas who they tried to charge with murder because someone at the hospital thought that she had taken the abortion pill. Like, you know, who knows if her phone could be seized in that situation if perhaps they would have moved forward with whatever. I mean, I know that they ultimately didn't move forward because the Texas law isn't really written to actually arrest the woman, but that could change at any point. Mm-hmm. And it's very scary to see that, like, your Google searches, even if you're like considering the decision yourself, mm-hmm. like maybe you Google abortion, but then you decide not to have one.
Which a lot of people do.
Maybe you do it before you even know you're pregnant because you think you might be pregnant. Like,
yeah, or maybe you're just curious about what actually like goes into one or whatever. Something comes up in the news and you look into like, what does it mean for me to take an abortion pill? I want to educate myself. And then now the police can like use that to say like, you've had an abortion or you killed a baby or you mm-hmm. would kill a baby.
Yeah, imagine if this woman had a stillbirth and her sister wanted to Google this for her sister. I mean, now we're sort of like using their language. I feel like I am because it's like none of this, all of this is allowed anyway.
What I was going to say was like these same people who, it's like, it's so crazy. It's these same people who complain that the government's watching you mm-hmm. or like you can't, like the vaccination status, like you can't ask me, that's HIPAA violations and like monitoring and Facebook is censoring us and stuff, like are using those tools that they say are bad to do worse things to people, to actually like get women in jail for Googling something on their phone, you know? And it's just so crazy because there are young men who look up how to make a bomb mm-hmm. and like how to get a, you know, how to do a school shooting and like all this shit that like
they write it on their fucking binders in schools and get their parents called in and nothing
and happens. The parents like, well, how many times have the parents been called, you know, for those kids who like actually mm-hmm. kill a bunch of people in one day, you know? I think one of the school shootings in Michigan was like, and it's not to be like change the subject completely, but it's just so crazy of like who the law is working for, who's it okay to use these tools, who's it okay to censor, who's it okay to like violate their HIPAA, you know, all that stuff, and who's not, you know? And for the fact that this woman spent years in jail and, you know, for having a stillborn when like this kid in Mississippi had like a parent teacher conference that morning and then went on to like kill people. You know what I mean? Like, it's just crazy.
And that law enforcement could be incentivized to focus on this is just like, I mean, I just added here that like a lot of times they use this data to make convictions for some super serious stuff. I mean, when we're talking about like child sex abuse images stopping super huge violent crimes. I don't think any of us are arguing that there shouldn't be some liberties there. But, you know, a lot of times they've used this data to make convictions for sex work, public drinking, shoplifting, cannabis possession. It's like, do something else, bro.
Yeah, I just feel like there needs to be a really high bar.
I have to find the article because there was something with like Alexa that like recorded a murder or something, like these kids were like hazing and the guy like accidentally died or something like that. And their lawyers argued that that wasn't okay. Like that's a violation of their privacy, this and that. So like if it was, you know, rich white guys who like parents have good lawyers, like they can argue that that's a violation when they literally murder somebody. But like this, it's like, you know, the entire state of Mississippi has to raise money for this woman to get out of jail. It's just, and I hate I hate it. And then it's also when we're talking about defunding the police, like do cops really need to add one more thing on the list that they're not qualified for?
Right, right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. We need to really hire more cops for this. Absolutely not.
No.
We all dread the what should we have for dinner question. I know I do. I love a home-cooked meal, but I don't always have the time, energy, or groceries to make it happen. Being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, so I can spend less time trying to be top chef and more time watching it. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, or quick microwave meals that assemble in minutes, Home Chef has you covered for delicious meals without the hassle. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you never have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/feverdream. That's homechef.com/feverdream for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. Homechef.com/feverdream. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
All right, so to lighten the mood,
well,
we're back with another game of Support Supplant, our awkward rephrase but specifically branded podcast game that we started last week, and I thought it was fun last week.
Yeah,
so we're doing is we're just going to go through a few of the week's most absurd headlines and discuss whether we support this outcome or would have rather seen something else, would have rather supplanted it. Last week, we just gave complete new headlines. We would have rather a different narrative emerged or a different focus. Really do whatever you want. And have it fit vaguely into the word supplant, which is there because, of course, you're listening to the SUP podcast. First up, do you think they get it? Should I double down? Yeah,
I think you've explained it beautifully.
Yeah, I didn't get it until you said SUP.
Oh, and because it's really the lamest name for a game if you don't know why it's there. Thanks, Elise. Thanks. Okay, so first up, we're going to go back to the Met Gala. We're going to have the Met Gala conversation that we were rudely deprived of by Justice Samuel Alito. So first up, Kim Kardashian admitted that she went on a crash diet for 3 weeks to lose 16 pounds in 3 weeks. Oh, huge trigger warning. Don't listen for like 5 minutes if this stuff triggers you. She says she went on a crash diet for 3 weeks to lose 16 pounds to fit into Marilyn Monroe's dress at the Met Gala. She said, quote, I had to lose 15 pounds to fit into it. And she basically said that she did an extensive regimen of sauna suits, which I didn't really. What is that?
I think it's like a big
sweatsuit.
Yeah, like a sweatsuit. Yeah.
That's healthy. Okay.
I feel like people do that like when they're V-steaming.
She said she just exercised a lot and restricted her food. She said she didn't starve herself, but that she was so strict. She didn't eat any sugar and mainly ate just veggies and protein. Same shit you always hear. Kim only wore the dress on the red carpet and she never actually showed the back because the back was not actually zipped, to my knowledge. She is Kim Kardashian. She famously has a huge ass. I don't know if you guys saw the videos.
She got
like
reductions, though. There's theories on TikTok got a BBL reduction.
Yeah, definitely. Supporter supplant.
I believe in that conspiracy theory.
I've looked at the photos
and I believe.
So she did all of this to not even really get into the dress. I mean, it was, I think there are pictures where it's closed, but she changed into a replica to wear for the rest of the night. So it was just that portion.
What a stupid
on the stage.
That's so stupid. I didn't even know that.
It was split completely open in the back. Like she just had the fur on. That's why she had the fur all night. Stupid. I'm just like, why put yourself through that? But my specific question is, are we happy that Kim was at least honest about what she did for that ridiculous moment? Or are we just like, do not say anything at all? But also we're just kind of like, this was dumb to have. Well, the headline for me should be like, Kim Kardashian ends up not wearing Marilyn Monroe dress because it would have required her to lose 16 pounds in 3 weeks.
Marilyn Monroe is not Gilded Age.
No.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
And that's the real thing is I would supplant this with her wearing a dress from the Gilded Age because Marilyn Monroe lived in the 1950s.
And guess what? Guess what? All those Gilded Age dresses, you need a fat ass to wear.
Exactly.
They literally add ass to those dresses. So not only did you, one, not follow theme, two, not like the one time it would have probably been useful to have a big ass for a Met Gala theme, you ignored the theme. If it was 50s, I would get it. But
yeah,
not
like,
even
I
like the-
love Sarah Jessica Parker's dress, but that is what, Kim, you could have really accentuated the whole ass of it all with something like that.
Yeah.
What and- the fuck?
The Gilded Age, like the corset boob, which I thought Billie Eilish did really well. Yeah. I just didn't understand. And I was saying this on Instagram story before Ro upended the entire situation.
Rudely interrupted.
I saw most, like, I kept hearing people being like, I was inspired by Jacqueline Kennedy. And I'm like, Jackie Kennedy was
not
the
Gilded Age.
She's from the 1960s. Like, what are you talking about?
And, okay, granted, I didn't know much about the Gilded Age until HBO had a fucking
bad
hit.
Yeah.
Till like Gilded Age, the show that was very popular, that was out like 2 months ago. Like,
right,
what
also,
the fuck are we doing?
Also, though, Millie, if I had said to you prior to the Gilded Age show to guess, you wouldn't have guessed 1963.
Well, no. If you're like Millie, if you were like Millie, I'm having a Gilded Age party. What would I do? I would probably Google and look it up and maybe not kill myself to fit into Marilyn Monroe's dress, who's 60 years after the fucking Gilded Age.
There was no reason. Terrible. She could have just waited for a few. She could have just, I mean, first of all, I don't think Kim Kardashian needs to go on a crash diet and be in a sauna suit or whatever. But she could
have. We never even touched that. I love it.
No, because it's all dumb. I mean, she shouldn't have done that. I think Lily Reinhart called her out being like, this is fucking embarrassing that you say that.
I also saw that she was like, she did all that and bleached her hair and then dyed it back in one day to look that basic. Like,
she's a beautiful woman. It's fine. The dress, I mean, she's a beautiful woman. The dress looked good on her, but also, like, she could have just worn it and not said anything about how she got into it or that it was split in the back or any of
that. But it was just so obviously not going to fit her that everybody was, because of her body shape, that everybody was like, also, there was just something weird about
that. That's what I wonder.
There's a certain level of luxury associated with Kim Kardashian and associated with the Met Gala and the Met Museum that to me felt out of sync with Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum. Like, why do I have all this content?
It was so funny.
They're so weird. Like,
thank you so much to Ripley's Believe It or Not. Like,
because that's who I was
in a dress
right now.
Believe It or Not.
Just fucking, oh my God. Just like weird, janky spawn con for Ripley's. We supplant with a different dress. We supplant this with her not addressing this.
I'll tell you
addressing
what.
Addressing this again.
I'll tell you what. She was with Kanye. She wouldn't have done that.
No.
Is Kanye a great person?
No.
That's debatable. Would she have made that fashion choice? Absolutely not.
I know. Last time he probably helped her, we didn't have to see her face.
Well,
that's all right. True. Next. Speaking of people whose face we don't want to see, this is now the Madison Cawthorn segment of the podcast.
Oh, my God.
An opposition group campaigning against Madison Cawthorn has released a video clip appearing to show the North Carolina Republican. He's naked in bed, right? Like, completely naked in bed.
I watched the video. At least send me the link.
I watched it because it showed up in the feed and I didn't really realize what it was. And then I watched it. And then my dear friend Millie was like, well, then I want to watch it.
Well, I kindly sent you the Hunter Biden sex tape. So it was only proper.
Tell me the feeling it evoked in you to watch it.
It feels like,
I feel like it looks like he's just being humped by a dog, like the feeling.
Yeah, so basically it's like him and he's like naked and kind of like thrusting on his friend and the friend is yelling in like a playful way. Like they're both laughing. It feels like a hazing video. Like
it's giving American Pie.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It feels like a scene from an 80s movie that has like aged really poorly. Mm-hmm. And like now they have to put a disclaimer before that scene that's like, this actually isn't funny.
Yeah. Right.
That's how it feels. Because I saw some people being like, it's revenge porn. And I don't, I don't think it was, that they weren't like having sex or like in a sexual situation. The person who's filming, obviously everyone involved thinks it's like, I mean, I don't know how the person receiving the thrusting.
Right. I think they might have been asleep, which in that case is like, they're not asleep.
No, okay. He's like, they're like,
it's like a hotel room. And it's like, you know, when you get like a bunch of your friends and you're all like sleeping in the same room and it's kind of like in the morning and everyone's like chatting and stuff. And I think he just like rolled over and like starts humping his friend in the face. Like,
but he is naked and he is yelling and they're laughing and it feels, it feels like a hazing video to me.
What job did he have before this? Because I feel like he's
24, probably nothing.
If he were not in Congress, like, I think that's the only job he can have. He would be living at home. Like, there's nothing else that this man can do. I can't figure out what he did. Probably just waited to be elected. But
if he chose not to be in Congress, he would just be some asshole who has all these videos and it wouldn't even matter. But now that he is in Congress, it's like,
we'd have to work from home because he's not allowed to drive himself anywhere.
Well, he would be somebody who's worked for his parents' company or his parents' friends' company or something and have a high-ranking thing and complain about how people don't do shit from their bootstraps or whatever, even though he's been given every privilege.
And they move him from department to a department because he sexually harasses someone.
Okay, this is hilarious. I'll read you his professional history.
We still have to review how much those guns cost in Lauren
Yeah, that's true.
Because I bet you that I still think that's like $15,000 worth of guns in that family photo.
Absolutely. He worked as a staff assistant in Mark Meadows' office. Mark Meadows is also from like the same area in North Carolina, but he is also the owner and CEO of a real estate investment firm that he started. He's the only employee. It was in 2019, it reported income.
Laundering. Okay.
And as of August 2020, I'm reading directly from Wikipedia, the company had been involved in only one real estate transaction, purchasing a 6-acre property for $20,000. Madison Cawthorn selling Sunset.
Yeah, selling like whatever selling six random acres. Area of North Carolina.
Now this beautiful home is 1 hour to its closest Walmart.
Madison. Okay, so like, what was my high-minded question I tried to bring into this?
Support or supplant?
Oh, are we tired of these leaks of him being an idiot, or do we think they serve a purpose?
Now, I'm going to ask you the question with another question. Do we want to see Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema get the same treatment as Madison Cawthorn?
No.
We don't want to see Joe Manchin hump somebody. But do we want a little bit of blackmail to come out?
Yeah, I mean, if it could get more people in our own party to be like, this is not what our party represents. But I feel like for Kyrsten Sinema, it would have to be like, you know, her saying, I don't know. I feel like nothing can hurt them.
Both of them saying the N-word, I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
The dirt on Manchin and Sinema is also just like financial stuff. And this Madison Cawthorn shit, it's like, I don't really care about any of this stuff. Like,
but they care.
Exactly. They care. It embarrasses them.
I also think the Republican Party is done with Madison Cawthorn because of his orgy comment. And I'm not 100% convinced that this isn't all like inter-party stuff. That's the reason that this is coming out, because for real, like for me personally, none of this stuff is the worst shit about Madison Cawthorn. The worst shit about Madison Cawthorn is that he spoke at the January 6th rally and he's a white supremacist and he's a homophobe and he's like evil. Right. So this stuff, I'm just like,
this is the stuff that the Republican Party can't defend.
Yeah, this is kind of stuff that I feel like is designed to turn off his primary voters, which is why I wonder if the leaks are maybe coming from inside the house here.
They are.
Because, for me, I'm just like, I don't know, there's worse stuff about Madison Cawthorn. It's definitely strange. It's hypocritical that he behaves in such a homoerotic way so often and is like a piece of shit about like the gender binary or whatever, but at the end of the day I'm just like, whatever.
Did you guys both watch The Ultimatum?
I have not watched The Ultimatum.
Oh, you haven't? No. Oh, well, listeners, let me know. Well, listeners, I want to thank you. Yesterday, we talked about baths for like 5 minutes at the top of the show, and we got a lot of people that appreciate the bath discourse, and also people who taught me how to keep water in the tub. I did not know that my tub had like a overflow preventer option, and that's why my tub doesn't stay full. So thank you to the person who sent me a link for how to prevent that. It will completely change my life.
That's beautiful.
Beautiful. But anyway, Colby from The Ultimatum gives me Madison Cawthorn energy. I'll leave it there. Our final supplant or support. New York City will be required to post salary ranges for open positions. This is really interesting. So this was supposed to go into effect this week, but it's been postponed because of some pushback from the business community, of course. The city announced the law is going to go into effect in the fall, of course, and require companies to post minimum salaries and maximum salaries. Colorado and Washington also have laws like this. I think only one of them has put them into effect, though. Mm. The idea is that we don't all waste our time in job interviews that don't meet our salary requirements, but also to kind of level the playing field a bit for BIPOC applicants and women who are not generally granted the same negotiating power, either because they are actually, you know, discriminated against and prejudiced against, or just, you know, when you're in an interview and you want to be agreeable and you want to be open and you're a woman, like you might, you know, I've been there where you don't actually push as aggressively as there actually is budget for. And, you know, usually there's a lot more than they suggest to you when they're mm-hmm. asking. Hiring managers, like we said, can usually get away with offering certain people a lot less. New York's law was supposed to go into effect this month, but late last week, the date was pushed because businesses say this is the worst time to do this. There's so much competition for staff. And in hiring, we know it's kind of like a real moment for workers' like rights and getting
who
the
cares?
Environment that
capitalism.
You want. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Small businesses say this will make it harder to compete with bigger shops for employees. And I think they do have a point here. They can't, you know, try to sell a prospective new hire on other benefits if those hires decide not to apply because of the salary. So, you know, I can definitely see how some of those people would be affected, but I don't know. I've never really done a job interview that was below my expectations, but I was like, it's okay, I'll just eat ramen so I can work here, you know? So what do you guys think?
Well, the small business thing, it's just kind of like a seasoned job seeker and a seasoned employee knows that salary isn't everything. Like mm-hmm. maybe the small True. Business can't compete with salary, but the workload's not going to be as much as a bigger firm or whatever. So mm-hmm. that's not really it. I'll just share my experience. My second or third job, I tried to get $40,000 for them to pay me $40,000. They said I didn't have experience in marketing. So they took me down to 30 or like 30. 36. They took me to 36, which is crazy. This is like, again, I was like 25. It's like my third job or something. I've had like years of experience, like 2 or 3 years of experience in an office. So then when I was there, I like surpassed their expectations. So they gave me a $3,000 salary bump, which is like fucking, what is that? $50 extra a month.
Yeah.
I find out that there's a guy who's 2 years younger than me, straight from college, who's getting paid $41,000 a year. Things sour with that company and I end up interviewing for another company. They ask me what my range is. I say 45 to 50, to 50,000 or something, or 55,000. They offer me 50, which I think is incredible at the time. And then me being there, I asked some white people who are doing the same mm-hmm. job as me, how much they're making, 56, 57, 55, like, so, but that was because they asked me. If they would have said that they're asking from 45 or from 50 yeah. to 59 for the job, I would have asked for 59, you know what I mean? So I don't
Apparently
know.
Apparently in person, they are, I mean, I've seen a lot of TikToks about this, but they suggest to like never really volunteer at first, make them like ask them what the budget is, because exactly. even in person, they will lowball it first. And yeah. I assume this law means you can't do that. You can't go in with a fake one, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing is like, it just, I appreciate the advice on TikTok,
yeah.
but I don't think it should be like that they're going to set a trap for you to not get paid. I mean, I think that we should just move towards salaries and payments, especially at like corporations, things like that. Like we should just be moving towards those things being standardized and open and available for like within reason for people to see, you know, at least like within the company, within the same division, you should be able to know relatively what people are making. And you should not be like, you shouldn't have to pass this weird trap test.
I know.
At the beginning where you like screw yourself over in a moment of, because like you're interviewing for a job. You obviously want the job in that moment. So especially people who are more inclined to devalue themselves, women, people of color, like not that they don't have self-worth, but like, I don't know, you're taught more to like,
get along.
Or whatever. Of course, you're in that position. If you don't have a fallback, you're going to lowball yourself because you want the fucking job. And then you get there and you're like, shit, I lowballed myself. It shouldn't be like that.
It's also like salary isn't everything. It's important. But it's like, I hate that businesses are like, oh, why do we have to do this? Like, it's an important thing, but it's like, okay, let's talk about benefits, paid time off, workload, work-life balance, work from home. I'm sure there's a ton of people, especially in the pandemic, who said that they would accept less salary if they could work home from home more. So knowing that, it's like, why is this even something that we're fighting against?
Yeah, you're so right. If you could just, if we could just externalize the like salaries as well, then people could actually discuss. It's like, well, yeah, that place has a lower salary, but for this place, but I had great managers there, and you know, like those things can count for so much more of your happiness.
Yeah,
I mean, I think it's like it needs to be a bigger change in how people pursue new jobs and how that process works. That's not just salary transparency, but like, yeah, giving people all of the factors. I think this will be I'm excited for this to go into effect. I think it'll be pretty dramatic surprises for some people at some companies. But I think the more that we can go towards like standardizing pay and taking bias out of it, the better. And I feel like this takes us in that direction. That's all we got today, ladies. Supplanting it all.
We supplanted everything. We didn't support a damn thing.
We will be back Monday, and hopefully by then the Supreme Court has not made its ruling. We'll keep our fingers crossed. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Melissa Maris.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast. Bye.
The Betches Sup Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow @Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com. Betches.